Good morning and happy Easter. This is something we say once a year, so if you forgot how it goes or haven't done this before, just be prepared to repeat back what I'm going to say to you and say indeed after that, okay? You ready? So, He is risen.
He is risen.
Amen, amen. Hey, we are in a series right now. We just wrapped up a series actually on Sunday mornings called Storyline. And we've been talking about the big story of the Bible, the story of creation, fall, redemption, and restoration. And we'd like to start off our time this morning by kind of going over those four big pieces of the story. And there's a sketch that goes along with each of them, so I'm going to do the sketch. I'm going to talk about what each of those means. And then that's going to form the structure of our worship time. We're going to kind of, each of the song is that we're about to sing is going to have, kind of fit with different parts of those story, creation, fall, redemption, restoration. So I'm going to head over here, grab my chalk. Thank you very much. And we're going to talk about the big story. But before we do that, I want to tell you a story about three college professors that were hanging out together in England back in the 1930s. And these were brilliant guys. They would go to this local pub near the college town or in the college town where they all lived and worked. And they would have these really brainy conversations in an English pub, which would, I'm sure, everything you imagine when you think English pub. They'd be sitting in the back corner and they would have these conversations about poetry and ancient literature and all these things that they were really into, kind of nerdy conversations probably, but fascinating, really deep, thinking about these things in a really deep way, the stuff that they taught about in their college classes. There was an Anglo-Saxon history professor. There was people who were experts in ancient, like, Nordic literature and all the mythology of kind of those parts of the world, the Nordic parts of the world. And one professor was a believer. His name was J.R.R. Tolkien. Another one of them was not a believer, and he had intellectual reasons why he wasn't a believer. His name was C.S. Lewis. The third guy was Hugo Dyson. They'd have these conversations, and again, very kind of brainy, smart conversations. But one of the things that C.S. Lewis was stuck on when it came to the Christian faith, because Tolkien, his buddy, who was a little bit older than him, about 8 or 9 years older than him, was a strong believer, someone that loved Jesus and had a very intellectual faith, would talk about why he believed the way he believed. C.S. Lewis was stuck on this problem of, well, it seems like when you think about all these stories, they have very similar structures to them. Whether it's a fairy tale, whether it's one of these kind of Nordic mythological stories that C.S. Lewis loved. He loved them. He just connected with them on this really deep level, and it was something that he was very passionate about and, you know, learned and studied and then taught in a college context. He said, all these stories seem like they have such a similar structure to them. And so why... Because that's true, it feels like maybe Christianity is just another fairy tale. Maybe Christianity is just one of these myths like these other things. These, you know, even the four-part structure, creation, fall, redemption, restoration that I'm about to draw on the board, it seems like even a movie, like a screenplay, many of them, four-act structure, very common, kind of four big moves of the story. And why isn't Christianity just another fairy tale? But the thing that stuck with him, and one of the things that led him to Christ, is he thought, maybe the reason why these stories have such a similar structure, maybe it's because the creator of stories, the one who invented the idea of story, maybe he wrote that upon our hearts. And so all the stories we tell each other, all the legends we come up with, they all seem to have a similar structure because there's a real story behind all these stories. The story of a creator, the story of someone who would sacrifice his life to save someone. Maybe there's a real story behind it. And that many people believe, was the turning point for C.S. Lewis. This realization that struck home that these stories that he loved, all these ancient mythological Nordic, you know, tales of the Vikings and all these different things that he just connected with on such a deep level, maybe that, the reason why he connected with it, was because there's a story behind all these stories that's true. And the story, the Christian story that we've been talking about for these 4 weeks leading up to today, and it's fine if you've missed any of those weeks, but you're welcome to listen to any of those sermons on our website. It starts with creation, that the world was created and everything was as it should be. It was all good. God is the creator. And when he created the world, he did it with words. He spoke the universe into existence through his great power. And everything that he made was good. Now, we know that we don't live in a world where everything is as it should be. We know that we live in the world where things are broken. And things are broken in a way that's discouraging. Things are broken in a way that we don't... It's very complicated. You know that the world is not as it should be. Everything is broken in a way that is very easy to see when you turn on the news, when you open up, you know, web browser, whatever it is. We live in this world. We live where things are not as it should be. And the brokenness we experience on such a deep level, this is the fall. So there's creation and then fall. We live in a world that's broken, and you could poll a number of experts, talk to people like, hey, why is the world not the way it should be? Let's talk about that. What do you think? And you could come up with a lot of different answers. The Christian answer is that beyond all those things, it's not more than just education, more than disease, more than these things that are needed or lacking or problems in our world. The problem beneath all those problems is the problem of sin. That this world is broken in a thorough and messed up way by sin. And we experience that on a global scale in creation. We experience that relationally from one person to another. We experience that between us and God in a very personal way. And it, without any other people around, you know even in your own self that things are not the way they should be. We all have a sense that things are broken and need to be repaired, need rescue. And that's where the third part, so there's creation, there's fall, there's redemption. The redemption story is the story of Jesus, who came and lived a sinless life and took the penalty of sin upon himself and died for us so that we might be connected with Christ, that we might have a relationship with him through what he did on the cross, that he paid a penalty for our sins that we deserved. The penalty of sin is death and separation. All of life is broken. All of, because of sin, the fallout is so severe and so much so that the penalty for sin is death. Redemption is the price that Jesus paid. It's a payment idea. It's this idea of payment needing to be made. There's a debt that needs to be paid. And so he paid the penalty for our sins. And if I can get my chalk to work here, I'll finish my drawing. There we go. Backup chalk for second service. Remember that. Because God was separated, the reason for all the brokenness in this world is because God has separated himself with the fall because of our sin, because God is a holy and righteous God. For our safety, he needed to withdraw. Jesus came to bring God to earth. He came to show us what God is like, to display for all to see what the love of God. And so through his sacrifice, his death, burial, and resurrection that we celebrate today, he paid the penalty for our sins. He brings redemption into this world. But that's not where our story ends. There's one more piece to the story, and it's restoration. And there's two parts to the story. There's the part where just the message of Jesus and the people who love and follow Jesus spread his message far and wide. That when Jesus came to this earth and he died and was resurrected and rose again, ascended and back into heaven after his time on earth was done, he left his people to go and do good and to tell the good news, to share the message of Jesus far and wide, so that people all over the world would know him and give hope and help meet some of these practical needs that exist in this world. And that's the already part. We talked about that last Sunday. If you want to hear more about that, you can listen to last Sunday's message on our website. But that's the already part, but there's the not yet part, because we believe that as Christians that God will return, that Jesus Christ will return, and he will set up his literal kingdom on this earth where things will once again be as they should be. So creation, fall, redemption, restoration. God is at work in this world. We get to celebrate what he's doing now, and we await the return of Jesus, where the new heavens and the new earth will reign. So that's the story of that's the Christian message. That's what we believe. Creation, fall, redemption, restoration. And we're going to talk in a few moments, after we spend some time worshiping together this morning, about how the resurrection brings new depth and new significance to each one of those parts of the story. The resurrection in particular that we celebrate today on Easter Sunday brings some new depth and new understanding, new insight into each of those parts of the Christian story. Creation, fall, redemption, restoration. So I'm going to ask you to stand with me, and we're going to worship together. And this will form kind of our framework. These different parts of the Christian story will form the framework of our worship time together this morning. So I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to spend some time together in worship. Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you for this Easter Sunday and everything that we are celebrating today, the triumph of your son Jesus over sin and death and the brokenness that all of that brought into this world. I thank you and I praise you for Easter. Lord, what an incredible story that we are a part of. And we're going to talk, Lord, about finding our place in your story. And I believe that's the most fulfilling and meaningful and purpose-filled way to live, is to see ourselves as a part of the story that's much bigger than any one of us, that we are a part of some incredible thing that you're doing in this world. So, Lord, we ask you to bless our time together. Thank you so much for this Easter celebration. Thank you for this church. Thank you for those who are gathered here together this morning. I pray that each and every one would be met by you in a powerful way through our time together this morning. Lord, if it's a reminder that people need of how good you are and how amazing you are and how we get to be a part of your story, Lord, may they have that. Lord, if it's new life in Christ, that maybe someone here this morning hasn't experienced that, hasn't begun to follow you yet, I pray that they would experience that. Lord, we love you. We thank you. Bless our time now. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, we are going to be looking at each of these parts of the story, creation, fall, redemption, restoration, through the lens, with our resurrection glasses on, so to speak. We're looking at how the resurrection brings new aspects to that story, fulfills some aspect of it. And the first one is talking about creation, and to talk about creation and how the resurrection impacts our idea, the way we think about creation. We're going to look at a couple of different passages of Scripture, and I'll mention too that typically on a Sunday morning here, we camp out on like one passage and spend our time unpacking one passage of Scripture. Today's message is going to be a little bit different, where we're going to be jumping around a little bit. So just a heads up on that. If you have very fast thumbs, can follow along on your device, or fast fingers in the page there in your paper Bible, you can do that. Obviously, the text will be on the screen behind me as well, so you can follow along that way. But 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 is going to help us think about creation and in light of the resurrection. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. When Jesus died on the cross for us, what passed away with him was our sin, this old nature. And we'll talk more about that in a moment. But there's something brand new that has come because of what Jesus has done for us, the Scripture tells us. There's a new creation. That's the way it's described. Not just something new, but a new creation. The Apostle Paul, in the chapter before this, 2 Corinthians 4, 6, says this, "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." In other words, Paul's saying, hey, you might know God from his greatest hits, "Let light shine out of darkness." You know, it's like he's listing off his great accomplishments. He said, that same God, the one who spoke the universe into existence, when there was just darkness, he said, "Let there be light," and there was light. He said, that God has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That something happens, that same creative power that was at work in the very beginning is creating something new in our hearts if we are followers of Christ. If you give your life to Christ this morning, that's something that the Bible says will happen for you. There's this light that will shine in your heart. That same power, the same creative power that was there in the beginning, is creating something new in the life of someone who gives their life to Jesus. So that's the first kind of aspect of that, the resurrection. There's something that's died, and there's a new creation. We are in Christ. There's the old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. When we consider the fall in light of the resurrection, we're going to look at Romans chapter 6, verses 5 through 9 for this. It says, "For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him." So when we think about what that's saying, it's telling us that when we consider the fall, there was a part of us that died. Spiritually, spiritual death entered the world. And we could not have a relationship with God because of this spiritual death that had taken hold on everybody. But when Jesus died on the cross, that death died. And what happens for followers of Christ is that we have life now. There's this resurrection life, this spiritual life. For any who would turn to Jesus, we get to have life now. When Jesus rose from the dead, so did that new life. part of us died, the part of us that was enslaved to sin, Scripture talks about, that we have no choice but to sin. There's not any other options for us. Jesus, that part died with Christ on the cross, and something new was risen up when he was resurrected from the dead. We have the ability now to have life with Jesus. This part of us that's broken by the fall died, and spiritual life took its place. When we consider the restoration or the redemption, we consider what Jesus did on the cross, the resurrection helps us understand that in a new way. And if you take Romans 1, a passage we're not going to read this morning, but there's a description there about what I'm going to explain in a moment. And then Romans 4:25, this is the passage I am going to read. It says this about Jesus. Jesus, right, this is in the context of who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. What this passage is talking about is that the resurrection, when Jesus rose from the dead, that was God's way of saying payment accepted. The concept of redemption, we understand, you know, if you look on the back of a gift card or a gift certificate from someplace, the word redemption is probably on there, or redeem. It's a concept of payment, something being exchanged. And Jesus paid the debt, paid the payment for our sins, died on the cross for us. And this scripture here is telling us, it says, he did that for our trespasses. Our sins are what put Jesus to death. But he was raised for our justification. When he was raised from the dead, it was like God saying, that seals the deal, payment accepted. I don't know if you're anything like me, but there's a moment when I'm checking out at the grocery store and I run my card through the card reader, and there's a slight moment of anxiety while the thing's thinking about it, like whether or not your payment is accepted. And that anxiety for me comes from a time when, you know, I wasn't as responsible with my spending, or even just times where something happened, like there's a fraud alert or something, you know. But there were certainly times early on, first credit card, you know, first bank account, where it was like, I don't know what's in there. Hopefully this works, you know. But this is that kind of moment where when Jesus was in the grave, when he was resurrected from the grave, that was God's way of saying payment accepted, right? This happened. The redemption, the payment that was made for us was accepted, and God proved that by raising Jesus from the dead. It's like a receipt. The resurrection is like our receipt, you know? The payment was made. We have proof of it through the resurrection. When we consider the fourth part of our story, the restoration work that God is doing in this world, 1 Corinthians 15, 20-23 will help us understand that in light of the resurrection as well. It says this, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. When we consider the restoration work that God is doing, it's interesting here that the first fruits is this word that's used to describe Jesus. In other words, you know, for those of you who garden or who have farming in your background, which is very much not me, my wife and I, we talk about our brown thumb we have as opposed to the green thumb. You know, it's like we tend to kill things that we're trying to grow. I don't know why. But when you, if you're harvesting something, if you're planting something and putting all that work into garden, keeping it free of weeds, keeping the rabbits away or the deer or whatever, and you're working on that, or even on a larger scale with farming, and you begin to see the first fruits, that's going to point you towards what the harvest is going to look like. What is going to be the result of all that labor that you did? Where is this going? And the first fruits are, literally, it's in the definition there, right? The first fruits. It's the beginning part of the harvest. It's the very early part of the harvest. This scripture is telling us that Christ is the first fruits, that Christ is just the beginning. The resurrected Jesus is just the beginning. And what started there in those very early days after the resurrection of Jesus and right after his ascension back into heaven was something so amazing. It was the beginning of the church. It was this harvest that was going to begin, where Jesus was going to begin this work that would spread throughout the world, that all over the world today there are Christians celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. The message is going far and wide. There's more work to be done. More people need to know. But it's already been spreading in an incredible way. And so this is the already part, that there's the work has begun. Jesus, in his resurrection, in the very early days of something called the church, already something new has happened. But then it continues and it spreads. We talk about the not yet part of the restoration where Jesus will return and he will set up his kingdom on this earth and the new heavens and the new earth, and sin will be done away with. Bible teaches us that we're going to have glorified bodies, that we're going to have bodies that are not subject to sickness anymore or decay or death or illness or sin. That's where our story ends, is at the restoration of all things, where Jesus returns and makes everything new, including us. New bodies, and his body that the disciples touched, where they felt the nail holes in his hand. That was the beginning of that. He was the first fruits. He was the preview of coming attractions, if you will. So Jesus, with his resurrection, says, this is where things are going. This is where the story ends. For those who follow me, you will receive glorified, resurrected bodies that will no longer sin, that will no longer get sick, that will no longer die. That's part of our story. That's part of where everything is going. I'd like to think for a little bit about each one of those aspects of our story in a little bit different way. Because we've been talking about the story of the Bible, but I think in many ways we can find ourselves in one of these places. There's this metaphor that we use here at Life Roads, and it's not original to us. It's very common, in fact. And it's the metaphor of life as a journey, and specifically following Christ as a journey. It's in the name of our church, Life Roads. It's this concept of the life we have with Christ and the journey that we go on with him. And in that, the concept of a journey is helpful when you think about what your next step is. When you're on a journey, when you're hiking a trail or something, you put one foot in front of another. You come to a fork in the road or the trail, and you go this way or you go this way, but one road leads on to another road, and you continue to move forward and take steps and go and move and walk. And I'd like to consider that we might find ourselves in one of these four places: creation, fall, redemption, restoration. And here's what I mean by that. I love the map in the mall that has the big "you are here" arrow, you know. Or if you're in any place like the zoo or something, you're like, I'm here and I want to know I want to see monkeys. Where are the monkeys? And they're like, oh, I'm here. I'm right here. The "you are here" thing is very helpful to find out where you are in relation to where you want to be. And I want to talk for a little bit about these different aspects of our story: creation, fall, redemption, restoration. If you're here, I'll just be honest and say you don't have a very realistic view of the world. You know, if you think everything is perfect and everything as it should be, it'd be nice to be there. That's the destiny for followers of Christ, is that we are in a world where everything is as it should be. But if you feel like you're kind of there in your life, that, yeah, everything's fine, you might have blinders on. You might not be really aware of the reality of the brokenness of the world. And there's a tendency in some Christian communities to try to pretend like everything's fine, to try to maybe even build their life in kind of a sheltered way where you keep out any of the negative influences, or you try as best you can. And this church, you know, should be a place of safety and things like that. But we know that we live in a world that needs us to be salt and light, that needs us to be in the world, but not of the world, but to be a good influence and to help other people know the truth and to find Jesus. You know, people do that, but Christian communities, there's these utopian communities that people have tried to do throughout history. And you know what? It never seems to work because there are people in all of them, right? And we've been talking about this, that the problems in the world are not just outside of us, they're also inside of us. And so we know that we're not really here. This isn't where we are. This isn't the reality. But there's a chance that maybe that's what you're, when you think about your life, you are trying to be in a place where everything's perfect. And I hope that you can, you know, have a healthy, good place. But the reality is that we live in this world. This is where we are. But our lives spiritually don't have to reflect this. We can be redeemed people or people on the mission for Jesus, but there's a chance that some of you are here this morning, that you're just overwhelmed by the problems in this world or by your own sin. And Jesus came to free us from this world. He came to bring something new and to take us out of this fallen, broken condition and give us a new reality that we could have through his redemption. But perhaps you're there this morning. Perhaps you've never experienced the redemption that Jesus brings, where he forgives us of our sins and sets us free. If that's you this morning, where you've never begun a relationship with Jesus, I invite you this morning to do that. Take that next step. We've got these booklets for you here, and the idea is that there's a page that maybe you need to turn. In a story, you complete the page and you turn. And I don't know if you've ever done this, but where you fall asleep reading a book. You know, I like to read. I like to finish my day by reading something. And you do this, you're laying down and you do this thing where you just keep, you know, dropping the book on your chest because you're falling asleep. It's no good to be stuck in a story on one page, right? That's what, when you're falling asleep, you just keep reading the same page over again and like, oh, where was I? And it doesn't even make sense anymore. Your mind starts tuning out. And that's one thing in a book. That's not that big a deal. But in our Christian lives, sometimes we get stuck somewhere. And we need to turn the page. We need to move on somewhere. And so maybe you're in this place where for turning the page for you means beginning a relationship with Jesus. And on the back of this card, there's a simple prayer that we put there. We're going to have some time in just a few moments to respond to the truth of Jesus. And this prayer of belief is there simply as a guide. It's there to help you make that decision if you'd like to. If you've never begun a relationship with Jesus, I invite you to do that today. Put your faith in Christ. Begin following him today. You can use this prayer as a guide to kind of help you make that decision. If this reflects the decision you'd like to make, we encourage you in a few moments when the worship team comes back up here to have a moment with God where you pray this prayer and put your faith in him. And there you move from fallenness, from the fall, to being redeemed. And that's new life in Christ. That's beginning a relationship with Jesus by receiving the gift that he offered on Calvary. His death was payment for our sins. The resurrection was proof that payment was accepted, that God received that payment. And that payment is good for anybody who would come to Jesus. Anyone who would put their faith in him can do that. I think for a lot of people this morning, you're here in this place. You've experienced the grace of Jesus. You've experienced what redemption is like. You've put your trust in Jesus. But I think that turning the page for you means being a part of his mission in the world in a more profound way than you currently are. Because I think for many, many Christians, there are people that stay here for most of their Christian life. They benefited from salvation, but then they just camped out there and stayed there, and they weren't a part of this incredible work that God is doing in this world. I want to encourage you this morning, if turning the page for you means being a part of the restoration movement in this world. When Jesus was talking about the work that he came to do, he said, man, the fields are white unto harvest. He looked out, and perhaps it was harvest time when he's having this conversation, and he said, spiritually, there is so much work that needs to be done. There's so many people that need to hear about the good news of what I've come to do, and we need workers. We need people that are committed to being a part of that. And so perhaps for you this morning, you need to take some step. God is calling you to take a step to be more involved in the work that he is doing in this world. Whether that's serving here at church, or you know, getting involved in some other ministry, or serving here at church, or maybe even serving here at church would be a good way to get involved. There's lots to do. We'd love to have you more involved. But perhaps for you, that's something that you need to do. You need to move from camping out here in this gracious, unbelievable place where God has given us his incredible grace, and move to help other people know that as well by getting involved in his mission in a deeper way than you currently are. So I encourage you to be here. Some of you this morning, you are here. You're in it. You're in the biggest story that the world has ever known. And you're a part of this incredible work. And so for you this morning, during this response time, perhaps you just need to celebrate that. You just need to thank God for that. But as you consider the card, as you consider the booklet, the card is there for you to think about these different areas. And it's a take-home for you to remember the different parts of the story: creation, fall, redemption, restoration. The booklet is there as a visual reminder of any decision that you might make this morning, whether that's putting your faith in Christ, or whether that's taking a step, going deeper in your relationship with him, or even just writing down a few words of thankfulness, where you're just praising God for something, you're grateful, you're worshiping him for something. But what does turning the page look like for you? What is your next step in the journey? I encourage you over these next few minutes, as the worship team comes back out, I'm about to pray for us, the worship team's going to come back out, to consider what your next step might be. And take a step. Move forward. What is God calling you to do? What does turning the page look like for you? I want to end by telling you about this book here. So this is a book called The Biggest Story that my son, Sam, who's 5 now, he might have been 4 when this happened, I'm not sure. We were reading this book to him or we actually got a CD for it. It is a CD, a couple of CDs where the whole book is read. And it's one of these kids' books. It's really kind of the inspiration for this series, to be honest, this idea of the story of God's Word, the story of the work that God is doing in this world. And I love these kids' books that do a really good job telling the big story in a way that can be grasped by little ones. But we have a monitor set up in his room, and it's a little kind of two-way deal. He's downstairs, you know, he's on a different floor, and so we have this monitor that we can talk to him through, and he can talk to us through. And just so we don't have to keep going up and down the stairs, if he has, you know, needs something like, hey, Mom and Dad, he can, you know, we can tend for right here, you know, what do you need? And so we have this monitor, and he was listening to this book. It was a new book. He was all excited about it. And the way the book ends, I want to read kind of the very end of it, because it seemed like a cliffhanger for him, and he really wanted to get the next part of the book. So it says, so keep waiting for him. Keep believing in him. It really ends on this kind of restoration note. Keep trusting that the story isn't over yet. God's promises never fail, and the promised one never disappoints. One day we will see him. One day we will be with him. One day there will be nothing but the best days, day after day after day after day. And forever and ever, it will be a wonderful time to be God's children in God's wonderful world. And then it ended. And he said, we hear through the monitor, Mommy or Dad, whatever, like, I need part two. Can you get part two for me? And we were like, what do you mean? That's the end of the story, I think, that part two. And we got to have a conversation with him about your part two to the story. You are the next part of the story. The story doesn't end here when the book closes. You continue the story of God. You continue the story of this incredible story, creation, fall, redemption, restoration. And we're here, and we continue this story. And so I want to encourage you, if you haven't put your faith in Jesus yet, do that this morning. Be a part of the biggest story. This is a place of hope. This is a place of joy. I believe being a part of the big story is a place of purpose for us. It is a fulfilling, joyful place to live. And I want to encourage you to move from experiencing redemption and being so grateful for that to being a part of the mission of Jesus in this world. Would you pray with me? Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this incredible story that we get to celebrate today, this amazing good news and the triumph of the resurrection and what that means for us. And Lord, as we take some time as a group this morning to reflect and consider what decisions you might be calling us to make, I pray for anyone who may not know you here this morning, that today would be the day that they take that step, they cross the line of faith, they begin a relationship with you. May they put their trust in you. Lord, may they begin following you. Lord, transform their lives. We're incredibly grateful for that opportunity to have a relationship with you. Lord, I pray that you would help every one of us in this room who are followers of yours already to be in the game, to be a part of what you're doing in this world, to serve you in some way, to see ourselves as day to day when we lead our lives, that we're not just about whatever we're doing that day, but we're about your mission. We're about taking steps to help other people know you. May we be people who pray for that. May we be people who participate in your mission in some way. And Lord, we thank you for this incredible time. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for Easter. Thank you for the resurrection, the triumph over death, the triumph over sin. I pray that you'd help us now as we take some time to reflect on any decision you might be calling us to make. Help us to turn the page. Help us to take a step towards you, however you might be calling us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.